Tuesday, July 28th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today in the program, we're in the book of Proverbs, we're in chapter 3, looking at verses 5 through 8, with a message titled, Trusting God.
And I think so often we're afraid that people will not understand that objective work of Christ, and that our faith is merely an instrument to receive that blessing, the outstretched hand, the blessing of the merits of Christ. But I also want us to think about tonight, in light of this text, the scriptures also speak about a deep-rooted trust and a deep-rooted confidence in the whole practice of life.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
I invite you to turn tonight to the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Someday I would love to preach through this book. I don't know how I would do it, but someday. We're going to look at Proverbs 3 tonight. Our text are verses 5 through 8. So I'll read 1 through 8 of Proverbs 3, found on page 627. This is the word of the Lord. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh, and refreshment to your bones. And there will end the reading of God's word. Well, beloved in the Lord, I want to spend some time with you tonight on this really beautiful text that really does help us, I believe, with the whole of the life that we lead in this life, the whole of what you might even say the Christian life, and the aim and goal of it. And it is a life of trusting God, trusting God. And I'm sure this is a favorite passage of many of you. It's a beautiful call here in wisdom to trust God. Trust God. I will be the first to admit tonight, I will be the first one to say that is one of the greatest challenges in all of life. I have a lot to talk about tonight on that point. We really are getting to the great truth that the righteous live by faith. The righteous live by faith. And here the author, Solomon, as it's generally received, the sage in wisdom, is giving us all of this wisdom in this book about life. I just encourage you, if you want to grow in wisdom, James says, if you lack, and if you're all wise tonight, then tell me about it. But if you lack wisdom, you should ask. And one of the ways that you can really advance in being wise in this life is simply to read the Proverbs and meditate on them, just a few of them every day. They are a mine so deep that you will not really plumb how much is there. But so important for us are these Proverbs, and the older I get, I realize how much wisdom they give us for every aspect of life. But here he is describing in chapter 3 the whole life of faith, and he's helping us to understand what that is. If you are like me, this is something that I don't do very well, and if you know Solomon, who wrote this, didn't do very well at this either at many points. His heart was turned away to the foreign gods of the many women that he had. And Solomon had a lot of problems because of this. But I wonder about, do we really think about the practice of faith? The practice of faith. If you are prone to anxiety, if you are prone to fear in this life, then this is really a great antidote tonight. And that is what is laid before us. The sage is giving us a beautiful moment of what the blessed life truly looks like. A blessed life in this life under the sun. And he describes many blessings that flow from this life that is described. So it's really beautiful tonight. He gives this emphasis here in the Proverbs, and particularly here, this call tonight to trust God. And that's what I want to spend a few moments with you thinking about. You'll notice here that that's how this section begins. There's a call to trust God, and then he helps us with the practice of trusting God, and then the reward of trusting God. This passage is loaded with reward in this regard, so we're going to look at that for a minute. The writer begins with this splendid call for us to engage in one of the most difficult practices of life and in wisdom. Wisdom calls out in the streets, Lady Wisdom, and then there's Lady Folly. There's two paths you can choose, and you can listen to Lady Wisdom. Wisdom is calling out to you from the streets to listen. There is a wise way, there is a right way, and then there's a way of total folly in this life. And you'll know this from the beginning, that the Proverbs begin with the great call to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord is the great call from the beginning of Proverbs 1. By chapter 3, Solomon is beginning to fill that out somewhat and help us understand what that fear of the Lord looks like in this life. And here we have it zeroed in on this great call to trust God. Trust Him. This is everywhere in the Bible. I could spend all night giving you verses about this. We'll have some. In fact, I think it was Dr. Godfrey who once said, in his preaching advice, when all else fails and you don't know what to do and what to say in preaching, just tell people to trust and you'll never fail. He's smiling, so I got that right. Trust God. You never go wrong in telling God's people to trust God. Isaiah 26, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock eternal. When we talk of trust, we're speaking also of faith, aren't we? We say in the Heidelberg faith is not just a knowledge, of God's word as true, but it's also a deep rooted assurance and confidence in the word of God. That trust aspect of true faith, resting and trusting. I think we often leave this discussion only in terms of justification. What I mean by that is we believe the gospel and God does something wonderful for us. God acquits us of all of our sins and he imputes to us a righteousness that we cannot attain. He gives us the righteousness of Christ so that we are counted as righteous and as if we had never sinned or been a sinner. And I think so often we're afraid that people will not understand that objective work of Christ and that our faith is merely an instrument to receive that blessing, the outstretched hand, the blessing of the merits of Christ. But I also want us to think about tonight in light of this text, the scriptures also speak about a deep-rooted trust and a deep-rooted confidence in the whole practice of life. The whole practice of life. That is certainly what the writer is after here in wisdom. When I first understood the gospel, if you could think about this, when you first understood the gospel, do you remember that? It was like a light bulb went on for me, and I remember sitting there, and I was mesmerized that for the first time I grasped this and was taken by the fact that God, apart from any works that I do, justifies me by grace through faith alone. And I was a free man. I really was. When I first grasped that from Romans 3:21, that was my verse. But now there's a righteousness apart from the law, the righteousness that is made available by faith. I walked out free. All the burden was taken off me. And it was a great time in life. It was a great initial conversion time in life. I felt very close to the Lord. And I was confident in that free gift. But I was not prepared for What I did not understand at that point was how hard life would be after that. From there on forward, I wasn't prepared for this. I wasn't prepared for how difficult it would be. Even in that initial sense of joy and understanding the gospel. And years later, I can still say, I still don't think I've practiced this very well. Practiced this in every aspect of life. I didn't understand how great the battle would be. And this initial call here, I think, is in wisdom. It's wisdom literature. So it's a different kind of literature, but it's an important literature capturing a truth for us. He is indeed after what we call fiducia. He's after true faith and heartfelt trust, but he's after that in everything. Everything. In wisdom literature, trust here is being used to describe a regard for God. A taking of God seriously, that he is so present with us, ever present by his power, as we say, and as we confess, that the whole of our lives, we are to regard him as the source of our strength, the source of our power, and of all wisdom in life, of all help in life, so as to live believing and knowing that he is the one directing every step. That's quite a statement. Guiding life. And that the whole practice of faith, of trusting God, is to believe this so that we look to him in everything as our confidence. Everything. Everything. And Solomon here sees great blessing in this. It's a beautiful call here to trust in the Lord with your whole heart, with all your heart. What that means is with all conviction, all faculties, all of who you are, the heart, the center of everything of who you are, our whole conviction is that God is our God. He is our King. He is guiding us. He is keeping us. He is our strength. He is ever set before us. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you, this is always, with my eye on you. Have you thought about that? God's eye is on you. With counsel, he's always guiding you. He's always keeping you. He's always upholding you. I will teach you, guide you, give you counsel, and your whole life, my eyes on you. That's the last thing we think's happening. It's the last thing we think's happening. Think of how wonderful a call then is to trust this, to trust the Lord. And what might be the effects of that, a life of trust? In everything we have come to believe with a whole heart, God cares for us. He's directing our lives, and he never fails in that kind of covenant love to his people. This is a blessed life. Now, this may seem elementary, what I'm about to say, and I don't know why certain things stick with you. If something has sort of stuck with you the whole course of life, and maybe early on this happened to me, then I think, well, it was powerful enough to stick with me. Maybe it'll stick with you. This seems elementary, but I remember the story of a well-known pastor who traveled from Europe to preach in the United States. And for some reason, he was held up in travel, and it seemed like he would miss the event. All this travel, all this time, all this anticipation of this great event, and he was held up in travel, and everyone was panicked. None of it faced him. I remember hearing that story. I don't know, why does something like that stick with you? It just seems so little. None of it faced him. He did not break into worry. He did not break into panic. He calmly trusted that God would have him there if he will have him there, and if not, then it won't happen. Think of living life all of this way. Think of living life all of this way. with a whole heart. In the little things. Little things make way for the big things. Here the call to trust is met with a call to acknowledge him in all your ways. That's an invitation to an intimate knowledge and acquaintance of God. It's what you love from Psalm 73. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That acknowledgement there in Psalm 73 is one of deep reliance upon him. Acknowledgement of that in life. Constant acknowledgement of that kind of counsel and guidance that leads us to glory. A recognition of him that he's the one in control. That the Lord is the one with power to keep. That the Lord is the one orchestrating the events of life. And notice this call is to live in constant acknowledgement of this. I think, you know, we are a people who are just, we're sheep, we're given to anxiety, we are given to fret, we are given to worry. And I think at the basic root of that is that we have lost sight of this basic truth that is here leveled before us. This is precisely why Jesus gave so much attention to this in the Gospels. And I always think how marvelous that our Lord, the King, would say these kinds of things to us. Do not worry. Do not worry about your life. And he gives the things that, at least in the first century, they would be deeply concerned about. How would they clothe themselves? How would they feed themselves? Look at the birds of the air. I feed them. Are you of not much more value than they? So stop worrying. Your Father knows what you need. But acknowledge him. Acknowledge him and his kingdom and his righteousness. And I will take care of all those burdens. That acknowledgement is what he is after, one of prayerful and constant recognition. There is a king over your life. And you are his subjects whom he loves. You are his people whom he has redeemed by the blood of Christ. And he constantly promises over and over to provide and care. Sometimes the best way to understand what trust is to appreciate what it's not. And that leads us to this practice of trust tonight. You'll notice this. Notice what he says. Trust God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. The greatest threat to what I just described is something we do all the time, sometimes even unconsciously, and it's why we become full of worry and fret. The greatest threat to what he's calling us to here, what do I mean by that? The greatest threat to the life of trust is to turn from his counsel and to seek counsel from within. To seek counsel from within. In your own wisdom. One of the beautiful psalms. Psalm 133, a short psalm. Listen to how simple this is about life. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child. My soul is within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. At that hope is that root there is to trust God. And people give their lives to things that are way too great for them. What Solomon is describing is something that truly calms and quiets the soul. Now, here's the reality, the hard reality of life. People don't hear this today. Dr. Clark said it on the AGR podcast the other day, so I'm going to quote it. Life is really hard and then you die. That's the Calvinist take on life. Okay? Life is really hard, and then you die. That's perspective. The pathway of life is full of sorrow. It's full of sickness. It's full of temptation. It's full of worldly allurements. It's full of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we're constantly plagued with these things. At any moment, we are subject to some calamity and difficulty, and then death comes. And you know life can be going very well, and just something like this takes you away from any desire or remembrance of what it's like to trust God. We forget what it's all about. Remember a few weeks ago, we considered Elijah when Jezebel came at him, and the one thing he did was forgot trust and ran the other way as far as he could into the mountains. When these things happen, here's the reality. We have no idea what's best for us. Isn't that the experience when they come, these things come? We find ourselves with little prayer. We do not trust. We turn inward. We try to solve everything in panic. We expend all of our efforts to change the situation. And the truth of the matter is, we don't even know what's best. What was the very first thing Satan tempted Eve with in the garden? Do you remember? God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. How'd she take that? So then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. So she took of its fruit and ate. There was the departure. There's the problem of humanity. We have sought our own wisdom to guide our lives apart from the will of God. Think of what we confess in Providence. What advantage is Lord's Day 10:28? What advantage is it to know? Think about this, to know that God has created and by his providence still does uphold all things. What advantage is that to you? Ponder the question. What advantage is it to know that? Answer, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and in all things which may hereafter befall us, we may place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love. Since all creatures are so...
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for joining us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us again next time for part two of this message from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.